You have your Bibles with you. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. We've been taking these verses here, verses 14 through 18, as our text verse. And we've been sharing on becoming kingdom influencers or influencers of the kingdom of God. And you know, we've already found out that we're citizens of the kingdom of God. We're no longer outcasts. Colossians chapter 1 says that we've been delivered from the authority and the dominion of darkness and have been drawn into the kingdom of God, Son of His love. Amen? We're part of God's kingdom. We're part of His heritage now. We're part of the saints in light. And we get to operate in that, praise God. And we have found out that we're no longer just old sinners saved by grace, but we've been taken and placed into God's family, but God's kingdom, and we are citizens of the kingdom of God with every citizen's right. We found out in Romans 14 that the kingdom of God isn't just eating and drinking and natural things, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we find that the kingdom of God is not natural, but it is spiritual, praise God. In fact, the Bible says that unless you get born again, you can't see the kingdom. Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to the Lord Jesus and said, you know, we know you're a man of God, sent from God. Nobody could do this stuff you're doing if God wasn't with him. And the Lord just cut to the chase and said, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom. What was he saying? I could stand here all night long and talk to you. You'll never see it. It'll never be real to you until something happens on the inside of you. Amen? You have to have a born-again experience. You have to be born of the Spirit. In other words, you have to let the Spirit of God do a work in your heart and change you and transform you, bring you out of darkness, bring you over into a relationship with Almighty God. Then you can begin to see the things of the kingdom. In other words, they become more real to you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. When you was in center, you saw Christians going to church. You thought, oh man, look at those crazy people. Now you is one. Hallelujah. Amen. And you found out that they weren't so crazy after all. Actually, they had the truth and you were the crazy one. Amen. Praise God. But thank God we got saved. We came in. When we did, we could see why people love the Lord. We could see why you pray. We could see why you lift your hands and worship God. And as you get into the Word of God, you get to see more because Psalm 119 says the entrance of your words gives light. So the more Word I get, the more light I have to see what I have as being citizens of the kingdom of God. And the main purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth was to bring the kingdom of God back to humanity. Amen? Because when Adam sinned, what he lost was the kingdom. And we found out, according to what Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, sin ruled over mankind from Adam to Moses. Why? Because there was no law. Sin just dominated people. They could, you know, God would intervene, but they would just dominate. But then through Moses, God gave the law, and the law actually defined God's character and actually exposed sin and gave man a choice. Couldn't save you, but at least it could bring you back to a place where you could have a relationship almost with God. Amen? You could actually know God to a point. Praise God. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to bring us back into a legal relationship. He came to bring us into a sonship and bring us into actual full citizenship. Hallelujah. Amen? Because now we're no longer outcasts and strangers, but we are fellow heirs and citizens of the saints. And thank God we received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Come on, anybody here excited about calling God your Father? Amen. But here in Mark chapter 1, we find the Lord beginning His ministry and introducing to us the kingdom of God. And He says in verse 14, this is after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel means the good news. He came bringing good news of the kingdom of God to the people. Now look what he says. And he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In other words, he says, the kingdom of God is right here where you can get a hold of it now. And here are the two keys to get in. Repent. Repent, once again, does not mean remorse only. It means a change of life, a change of attitude. It means to turn from what you're doing and turn to God. Amen? And listen, there's another revelation you can find right here. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Listen, we don't get saved to go to heaven. I'm going to prove that to you here in just a moment. Heaven is automatic, and one of these days you get to go to heaven. But you know, I need to go ahead and teach a series a little bit more, a couple of lessons on the rapture. You got to understand something, folks. We only get to be in heaven for about 7 years. Duh. Okay. I thought we was going to be in heaven forever. No. God created the earth for man. You get raptured out of here whenever it comes time, the end of times comes in, but you get to be in heaven for 7 years, and guess what? Then you come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you reign on earth for 1,000 years, and then God sets up the kingdom of God on the earth, and we reign on the earth forever and ever. So if you don't like the tri-state, ask God to put you in some other part of the country. Amen. Praise God. But if you like it, say, I'm putting my dibs on it right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Only that it'll be a new heaven and new earth without all the junk that we see. Amen. But the Lord Jesus said, listen, repent, change your life, and believe the gospel. How? Why do you believe the gospel? Because you can't get saved on feelings. You can't get saved on you know, what somebody else says. You have to believe what the Word says. How many of you know that the reason you believe and get saved according to the gospel is because there are days you may not feel saved? Anybody here besides me ever not felt like you was? Oh, my God. You know, huh? Aren't you glad you had the Word to stand on? Because if you was basing your faith on your feelings, man, you'd have been out of here. Notice you don't get saved because everything goes great. You ever have one of those days where it doesn't go great? Man, you're out of here. You don't get saved because everybody likes you, because there are days nobody likes you. Come on. I mean, you go on your friends list and try to find somebody. You know, please like me. Nobody will hit like. Hallelujah. So we believe according to the gospel. The gospel is the good news message of what God has come to do for us. So therefore, my faith is based upon the Word. And if and the Bible says the Word is forever established in heaven. So therefore, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. When I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and my faith is founded on the Word of God, nothing can shake my walk with God. Amen? Now, notice what happens after the Lord tells you how to get into the kingdom. He goes on and says, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Notice they just laid everything down and said, we're going to follow the Lord. We've looked at this verse in the Amplified. And it says, and Jesus said to them, come after me and be my disciples, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Notice there are three things the Lord is wanting them to do. Number one, he's asking them to come after me. In other words, you follow me, you pursue me, you model your life after me. Then he says, and become my disciples. A disciple is a learner and a follower of the teachings of their leader. Amen. In other words, learn of me, imitate me, learn to live your life the way I live mine. Be like me. And then he says, once you've decided that you're going to follow me, make me your Lord, then you're going to get in the Word and find out how to live this life and be taught and live your life in a way that I would live it. He says, then I'm going to make you a fisherman. In other words, then he says this, I'm going to bring you to a level of maturity where you realize it's not just all about you now. See, the church has failed because we made it all about getting saved and going to heaven. Are you hearing me? But it's not about being saved and going to heaven. It's about you getting saved, then learning who you are in Christ and learning how to be discipled for the Lord Jesus Christ, how to imitate him and live for him and live according to his teachings. And then when you get to that place where you're living the principles of the kingdom of God, he wants to then turn you around to others and make you an influencer to them to help them to see what you have and bring them to Christ also. Amen? So the ultimate for every one of us, the ultimate goal should be to become a fisher of men or an influencer in the kingdom of God. I want my lifestyle to be such that it will influence you to want to have what I have. Amen? And when you come and ask me what I have, I want to have the knowledge of what I have to be able to share with you so you can believe not because I have it, but you can believe because you've heard it from the Word and you base it upon what you hear. Amen? Remember when Jesus was ministering to the woman at the well And he told her all about it, and she finally says, "You're the Christ." And the Bible says she went and left her water pot and went right into town and started telling everybody, "Hey, I met a man that told me everything about me. I mean, he did this, changed my life." And they started believing. But that later on in that same chapter, it says that they came to her and says, "Listen, we first believe because what you said about what he told you. But now we've heard him ourselves, and we believe on him because of what we heard from him." Hallelujah. Amen. See, every one of us have to come to a place. I believe on the Word and the Lord Jesus Christ, not because mama did, or not because my friends did, or not because, you know, they said it's the right thing, but I believe because I've heard his voice in my own heart, and I believe according to the Word, and I have a personal relationship with Jesus myself. Amen. But notice that the thing happened that whenever she became so excited about Lord changing her life, you know what? She became an influencer in the kingdom. She influenced all those people to go search for Jesus and find Jesus in their personal life. Hallelujah. So you may not lead everybody to the Lord, but you should influence them to the place where they will go seeking the Lord themselves. Because if you seek him, what happens? You find him. Amen. And our job is to get people to want to seek him, to want to come to him, to want to follow him themselves and find out for themselves. Now, let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we've looked at this before, but it bears repetition. He says in verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Salvation is God's gift to humanity. It's something you can't earn, you can't get good enough for, but by his grace and goodness and mercy and love, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes in, takes the old heart out, puts a new heart in, takes the old sins away and blots them out, gives you the righteousness of God and brings you into fellowship with himself. Amen? It's not of works as anybody should boast. None of us have the right to boast. I got saved because I was so good. I got saved because I went to church. I got saved because I prayed. I got saved because I read my Bible. No, you got saved because Jesus died on the cross, took your sins, buried, and was raised the third day, and released his mercy and grace to you so you could enter into a righteous relationship with Almighty God. Amen? That's why we got saved. So he gets all the glory. But notice again, the Apostle Paul is picking up on the theme of the Bible that it is not just about getting saved. Because in verse 10, he goes on and says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Notice God prepared works for you and things for you to do before he even saved you. Just like when Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Come after me, be my disciples." That wasn't just the intent of him wanting them to come after him. Because I want you to become fishers of men. I want you to become influencers in the kingdom. I want to work in you that you can work into others. Hallelujah. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. You got saved because God loves you, but when he saved you, he immediately begins to tell us, "I've got a work, I've got an occupation, I've got a plan for you." In fact, the Amplified read it like this, "For we are God's own handiwork." Listen, his workmanship. So the next time you look at yourself and say, "I'm just an old nobody." No, you're not. You're his workmanship. And God didn't create any old nobodies. Amen? Notice this, he goes on, he says this, "Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works." Oh my goodness, need to read it again. "Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that." What? Why did I get born anew? "That we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Hallelujah. God has a good life for you. The best life you can live is the life that Jesus has prepared for you. And you should find that life and move over into that life because that is what he recreated you for. That's what he brought you into his kingdom for. God brought you into his kingdom because he loves you and he has a purpose for you. And he has works for you to fulfill. Praise God. Now, quickly look over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg of you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, Paul is writing these people, and these are Christians he's talking to. He's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, listen, Jesus saved you, and he's got a great work for you, and you're his workmanship, and you're not just an old nothing. He didn't make junk. He made new creations. He made, to be special before God, and he created you with a plan and a purpose for you. He's got good works, and he's got a great life for you to live. Then he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling of which you've been called. That word calling there in the King James is vocation. Walk worthy of the vocation or the occupation that God has given you. Amen? In the Greek, it also says invitation. Walk worthy of that which the Lord is inviting you to do for him. Now, it's real important I stop here. An invite is not a demand. It's exactly what it is. It's an invitation. You can choose to go or not to go. Are you hearing me? Meaning what? The Lord's not going to force you to do what he created you to do. He's inviting you to do it. Because you see, the difference in the Lord you have now, Jesus, and the Lord you had before, the devil, is this. The devil forced you to do what he wanted you to do. Are you hearing me? How many of you heard it? The devil made me do it. Well, you know, there's a lot to that. Because he puts his nature in sinners, and he puts all the opportunities before him, and he sends these people by. And you know, the sinner's always trying to influence you to go sin and do all this stuff and all that stuff. And then you and the first thing you know, you find yourself in that environment, and you're just doing it. And you get done, the next morning you go, why did I do that? Because you're serving the wrong Lord. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not come and force you to do anything. He comes and invites you into his life. He invites you to do what he's called you. He invites you to operate in the vocation, the calling. And you have to choose to do that. You have to choose to walk in that and bring worth to that. You see, here's the thing. Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said in Romans chapter 11, he says, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. You know what he was saying? He says, I'm just exalting what God has called me to do. I'm making it the most valuable thing in my life to serve the Lord the way he wants me to serve him. So therefore, he's saying, I'm bringing worth to what he's given. I'm calling it special, praise God. And I'm going to live in that. Now, here's some things we need to see, verses 7 and 8. But to each one of us, notice that every one of us is given according to the measure of Christ's gift, grace. Notice that every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what's he saying here? He says, and when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men or to people. Now, what are we seeing? The Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to come after me. I want you to live your life the way I want you to live it. I want you to learn. Once you get saved, I want you to get in the Word and find out how to live this thing. I want you to become my disciple. I want you to be a learner and a follower of my teachings so that you know how to operate in the kingdom of God, because you have to learn the principles of the kingdom. Amen? You knew how to be a sinner. Now you have to learn how to be a Christian. So you get in the Word. And he says, the reason I want you to get in the Word is because I want to transform your life to the point that now, instead of you being the influenced, you become the influencer. And to help you to become the influencer, I'm going to give you an occupation. I'm going to give you a vocation. I'm going to give you gifts and talents and abilities. And then I'm going to give you grace to make those things come to pass and operate in your life. Now, when we hear this teaching, immediately we begin to think, well, where in the church does God want me to work? Well, I believe he wants us to be involved in church and in church services. That's right. And that's good. And we all should be participating in church. We all should be, involved in church and worshiping God. But here, you need to get a hold of something right here. When Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, he's not telling them all to go into the ministry and be pulpit ministers. Somebody says, how can you say that? I didn't. He did. Verse 11. He just said he gave gifts to every person. He gave talents to every person. He gave a vocation and an invite to every person to do something for him. Isn't that right? Now, Verse 11, and he himself, talking about the Lord Jesus, gave some. Everybody say some. Some is not all. Some is just some of them. Isn't that right? Notice he didn't give all to be apostles and all prophets and all teachers and all evangelists and all pastors and teachers. But wait a minute, Pastor, he just said he called us and gave us a vocation, gave us gifts and talents. Yeah. But he didn't call you to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher and just do all that stuff inside the church. Isn't that right? Because he says he gave some to be these ministers, not all. So not all of us are preachers. Not all of us are evangelists. Not all of us are apostles and missionaries and all this stuff. Well, if I've been invited to do something, what is it? He gave only some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but he called all to be influencers in the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? I'm going to say it again. Praise God. Only some are called to preach, but all are called to influence. Let's just say it that way. Meaning what? Our gifts and talents and abilities and callings and occupations are not just for Sunday morning. Amen? They are to be influencers. When the Lord Jesus spoke in verse 18 of Mark 1, he said, come after me, be my disciples, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In other words, fishers of men, where are they at? They're not in the church, they're outside the church. You know what he was saying? He wasn't just calling them. Yes, they became apostles, but he wasn't just calling them to be apostles. He was calling them to go and influence others out in the world to follow him also. Amen? Now, if you're not called to be an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or pastor and teacher, what are you going to do? What is your gift and what's your vocation? What are you going to do? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Go to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. Let me show you something here. He says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, all power of rule, all jurisdiction, hallelujah, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. In other words, the Lord's authority is in heaven and on earth. Isn't that right? He has authority on earth just like he has authority in heaven. Praise God. But now look what he does with that authority. Go therefore. King James says, go ye therefore. In other words, he's saying, now, I've got all this authority and power and my rule and my reign and my kingdom is on the earth. Amen? Because I brought the kingdom of heaven back to the earth. And kingdom simply means the king's domain. And Jesus is saying, my domain is both in heaven and on earth. My authority, my rule, my power, my realm is in heaven and on earth. Then he immediately turns to his disciples and says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. In other words, go bring people into a relationship with me and teach them how to live their lives like I live. Notice that? Baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Jesus says, if you'll do what I'm telling you to do, I'll always be with you because you'll be doing what I've invited you to do and you'll never do it alone. Now, here's something you got to get a hold of. Matthew 28, and we're going to look at Mark 16 just a moment, are the two different places where the Lord gives the Great Commission. But do you notice something here in this verse? In verse 19 of Matthew, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now, if you just surface read, it doesn't mean much to you. But you see that word nations, when you start checking it out, it comes from the Greek word ethnos. We get our word ethnic. You know what he's saying? Go to every ethnic group on the planet. Doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what continent you were born on, doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter where you was brought into, whatever. Go to every ethnic group on the planet. Why? Because Jesus didn't just die for the Jewish nation, he died for all nations, hallelujah. All people. And he says this, go into all these different ethnic groups and let them celebrate their ethnicity. But at the same time, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go teach them my principles and my kingdom and bring them into the kingdom so they can not just be who they are on the earth, but they can celebrate and be kingdom citizens of the kingdom of God, and they can know me and they can live their lives with me. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So that means that the church should have be basically of all people groups. And you know what we should have in common? We got saved by the same blood. We are washed by the same blood. We serve the same Lord. It's the same grace, same God, same principles, same character, same lifestyle, same everything is in us. Only we get to celebrate and be ourselves. And the thing that unites us is not that we all talk the same, look the same, walk the same, laugh the same, celebrate, but we celebrate the same Lord, and we love each other, and we flow with each other, and we rejoice with each other, and we thank God for the diversity that He has brought us all together as one in. Hallelujah. And so the Lord says, here's what I'm wanting you to do. I want you to follow me and become my disciple so I can send you to these different people groups with the good news that you don't have to stop being black. You don't have to stop being white. You don't have to stop being Asian. You don't have to stop being who you are. You just get enhanced in who you are and you become like me. And then I take all of you with all your diversity and make you one, and my kingdom is celebrated around the world. Hallelujah. Come on, church. That's good news. Hallelujah. And we are to all be involved in that because we're all called to be influencers. But now let's just don't stop. Look in Mark 16. So we're tying this all up because we have to see what the Lord is really wanting us to do in all of this. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Here Mark records the Lord by saying it this way. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Notice that. Now he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. A different Greek word is used here. Nations was ethnos. World is cosmos. Now, if you look up cosmos in the Greek, it means order or arrangement. Or we could say it like this, the social order or world system. You know what Jesus says? He says, go into the social order of the world and preach the gospel. Go into every social order and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to every ethnic group and to every social realm and share the good news that Jesus is Lord and expand the kingdom and bring kingdom influence into every social realm on the planet. Are you hearing me? Now, somebody says, in 2nd, you don't have to turn there, we didn't put it up, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says that during the days of Noah, God destroyed the world that was. It's the same Greek word, cosmos. Now, God didn't destroy the world. He destroyed the arrangement, the social order that was going on at that time. Remember? Because of the flood, all humanity was wiped out. God changed things. Why? Because of the corruption that was in the world. He saw that men's heart was totally wicked, and Noah prayed and found favor. And then God just, and whenever the dry land finally appears and Noah gets off of the ark, what does God say? God goes right back to Genesis 1 and reinstitutes, now go in all the world, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the land, and do what I told you to do. Why? Because the order, the social order had become so corrupt that God judged it. But then God says, I'm never going to judge it like that ever again. So he sends the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus says, listen, here's what I'm doing. I'm asking you to go into every social realm in the earth, and I'm asking you to go and share the principles of the kingdom of God and influence that realm to be a kingdom realm, not an ungodly realm. Because I don't want to destroy the social order. What I want to do is bring the kingdom influence into that order, into that realm. Now, somebody says, what are you talking about here? Well, there are seven spheres or seven realms of social order that mankind lives in today on the earth. Basically, you can break down in seven different categories, and that's why we handed this to you. There are basically seven different spheres, and we're to take the principles of God's kingdom into every sphere of humanity. And we're to bring God's influence, God's authority, God's blessing, and His influence of His kingdom into every sphere or realm of our social order we're living in. See, we're not all called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but we're all called to be influencers in the vocation that God has given us talents and abilities to go do on the earth. Amen? Because you have dual citizenship. You have an earth citizenship and you have a heavenly citizenship. Praise God. Jesus said He had authority on earth because He was the Son of Man. Meaning what? Because He was a human being, He had authority to influence things on the earth while He was here. And He had authority in heaven because He was Son of God. Well, guess what? You and I have authority because we're sons and daughters of men. In other words, we are human beings and we are placed in certain jobs, certain vocations, certain careers, certain places. And God is saying, listen, I want you to follow me to the point that you're no longer embarrassed about me. That you're coming after me. You're pursuing me. You love me. And there's nothing that can separate you from me. In fact, then I want to disciple you. I want you to get so rooted and grounded in the Word that you can give an answer for the hope that's in you when people begin to question you and begin to come against you. And I want you to be so caught up in living your life and doing the principles of the kingdom in your jobs and in your sphere that people begin to be influenced to say, how is it that you walk in victory when the rest of us are in defeat? And that opens the door then for you to share Jesus with them and bring them into the kingdom of God. God says, I want you to be in the place of work. And instead of the loud mouth, nasty joke teller, who's the influencer and causing everybody to follow him, I want you to walk in the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. And I want you to walk in there and just with the anointing of God that's in your life, begin to change the atmosphere. And instead of people following the loud mouth jerk that's of the devil, they begin to follow you. And you change the atmosphere of the place you're working at. Somebody says, yeah, but Pastor, I'm not the boss. Neither was Joseph back in the Old Testament. And if Joseph could go into Potiphar's house and make it the richest ranch on town, if he could go to jail and turn it into a luxury place, and if he could go to Pharaoh and turn it into the greatest nation of the time, how much more could God do with us who are now sons and daughters of an almighty God? You don't have to be the boss. You just have to be the influence. You have to be stronger in your influence for the Lord than they are for the influence of the world. And that's what the Lord is saying. You can't do it on your own. He has to make you to become a fisherman. He has to mold you and fashion you, but you got to be all in and get in the Word and know who you are and know that your job is your mission field. Your career is your mission field. It's a place where you're meeting people every day. It's a place where you're influencing people every day. They either know you're Jesus people or they don't. And people are watching you to see what you're going to do and how you're going to deal with it and what you're going to say about it. Jesus said, I want you to be an influence in every sphere of life. There are seven basic spheres or realms that we have to be influencers in. Seven of them right here. Let's start with number one, spiritual or social. In the social realm, with friends, who's the influence? When you have gatherings, what's the atmosphere that's set and who sets it? Today, our social realm is being tried to be ruled by all these liberal, ungodly, satanic ideas about who people are. It's time for we Christians begin to influence the social realm of our nation, praise God. And that doesn't mean you put sinners down. It doesn't mean you run people down because you disagree. It just means that we make our lives so great they want to have our lives instead of having the world's lives. We live the truth in love, and we begin to bring Christ into our social realm. Number two, government or politics. We need to bring Christ into our government. Amen. We need to bring Christ in the decisions of those in authority. And if you're going to run for office, be a Christian. Take Jesus into the politics. Take him into the place that you're going to run for. And we pray for God to move, and the kingdom of God would be the influence that directs our government and the politics that are set forth. Business and economy. We should be determining how that goes. Your business is your outreach to the neighborhood, to the city, to the state, to the nation, whatever it is, wherever, however big it goes. What am I using my business for? Number one, I'm going to make money. Why? Because if I don't make any money, I'm not going to be in business. How am I going to make money? I'm going to have a good product that's going to be a blessing to people that they're going to enjoy. I'm going to give them good service. I'm going to be an influence to them that when they come here, they're going to walk out saying, you know, there's just something different about going to that place. I'm going to encourage my people that work for me. I'm going to provide jobs for people. I'm going to provide income into my area. I'm going to provide a source of victory. And you know, we're going to change it. And it's just not going to be just about lusting for things and this and that. But we're going to bring the kingdom of God into that realm. Pray over it, praise God. You don't have to pray right there, but you know what? If God opens the door, you get to pray for people that you work with, fine. But you know what? Pray, God, today, use me to be an influencer in my job, in my business, in my workplace, so that you're glorified there, and the presence of the Lord is felt there, and your anointing is there, and people just get drawn in. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin told the story about his brother, and he didn't know what he wanted to do. And so he said he became a salesman. He said he didn't have a college degree. He'd graduated from high school with just average grades, but he went in. This company was looking for a salesman, and so they hired him. And so the main guy came to Texas. That's where they lived at the time, and said, how did they hire you? We had college graduates, and we had all these people had experience, and you're just a young man and about 20 years old, and you have no experience. And I just barely got out of high school. How in the world did you get the job? He says, I talked him into it. Well, he's looking for a salesman. He talked him into it. And so he sold so much and made so much money that they took part of his territory away from him. And you know what he did with a less territory? They made more money than the rest of them did with just less. So they finally moved him to the headquarters and made him the head man to train all the other salesmen. And Brother Hagin said, you know what he would tell them the first thing whenever he would start talking to them about being in sales and being in business? He said, you have to have faith. You have to believe in God and believe that God gave you the ability to get it done. And you have to have faith. He became a kingdom influencer without even trying. Why? Because he took what God had gifted him and talented him and took it into that realm. And became a blessing to others. Hallelujah. We can do the same thing. Education, number four. These are all realms that we have on the earth today that we need to be involved in. If you're going to be a teacher, be a godly teacher. Train children, raise them up, take authority over that classroom, speak peace over it. And let's make sure that our education is bringing God back into the schools and back in the lives of the people. We can take this stuff back. And you don't have to go in there preaching all the time to them, but you go in and you share the principles and live the principles of the kingdom of God before them. You live morality. You live virtue. You live holiness. You live godliness. You live success. You live victory. You live praise. And you let it shine out to them. And all of a sudden, they want to know what you've got to say, and they want to be around you because you're different. How about media? Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could just get some honesty back in the news? Come on. How are we going to do that? Well, we need Christians involved. Just because, you know, it's ungodly. Well, it's ungodly because all the people that born again got out of it. Well, it's hard to get in. Then start your own. Amen. And I want to tell you something, folks. Where we miss is this. We go in and we try to preach to people right off the bat. You don't go in and preach to people right off the bat. You go in and demonstrate Jesus, and you demonstrate that you're worth that place. And you go in there and you demonstrate a godly life. And you go in there and show them how to be successful. Joseph didn't go in and tell Potiphar, you know, I got a dream. I'm going to be the head of this thing. And he didn't go to Pharaoh and say, oh, by the way, you know, I'm going to be the head of this thing. He just used his gift wherever he was at And God did the promoting. Isn't that amazing? Joseph didn't stop being who God called him to be when he got betrayed by his family. Notice he didn't stop being who God called him to be, didn't lose his dream when Potiphar's wife tried to mess him up and then got mad and got him put in jail. Notice he didn't stop being who God called him to be and live his dream and be the influence when he found himself in a prison. And notice that whenever he became the number two man of the greatest nation in the world and his brother showed up, he didn't stop being the man God had called him to be, but he forgave them and loved them and saved an entire nation and helped the nation of Israel be birthed because he was an influencer for God. We can do this. You can do this. But you have to know who you are, and you have to live it, not just preach it, but live it. We have to get back involved in culture, and our culture, and entertainment. Wouldn't it be great to have more, movies that the whole family could go to without being afraid of certain words being dropped on you through it? Well, we just need to pray and be involved. Hallelujah. Amen. How about this? Sports. We need to pray that all of our young athletes that are growing up will be strong to give the Lord glory and live the life before them and be examples to all the others that are going, because that's a realm. And we want the kingdom of God's influence in all seven of these realms. So what are we saying? We come to church to be constantly anointed with the nature of God. We come to church so we can be trained in the principles and values of the kingdom of God. Why? So that through Monday through Friday, we can go out and change our world. We can go out Monday through Friday and change our world. Sometimes without even saying anything. Just living it. Walking in it. Letting it happen. When the opportunity comes and they ask you, how's it that you do this? Then you have the opportunity to share with them. And you talk to them. And Revelation 11:15 says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms or the spheres of influence of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. God is interested in the various kingdoms. He wants to be involved in all of our lives. And he's asking us to be his influencers. I don't know what your job or occupation is right now, but you know what the Lord's wanting you to do? He's wanting you to bring the light of his kingdom into that realm. He don't want you going there blazing guns and swinging swords. He wants you to go in there knowing who you are in Christ and living that before them and beginning to bring that atmosphere into God's realm. Praying over it, seeing your workplace, seeing your neighborhood, seeing the people you socialize with as opportunities for you to share the light of God's good news into their lives. I want to tell you, if each one of us will take our place, use our gifts, talents, and abilities for the things of the kingdom of God, and realize God gave me this job as a place to be a witness for him. God gave me talents and abilities to be used for his glory. And God loves everybody. And he wants us all to be one together. And he wants us to come together in love and in truth and in peace. And I have to be an influencer in my realm. I'm bringing my realm to the kingdom of God so that the kingdoms of this world will be influenced by the kingdom of our God. Amen? Amen. If we'll do that, folks, it makes it better for everybody. Well, Pastor, you think we can have a utopia on earth? Not until the millennial reign. But can we change the atmospheres of places we work at? Absolutely. Can we win a lot of people to Jesus? Absolutely. Can we win them all? Probably not. It's unfortunate. Some are going to reject it. Well, what if I get rejected? You pray for that person, love them, and keep on going. If I can't lead you to the Lord, but I got to talk to you about the Lord, I'd never dig my seed up. I always say, Lord, I thank you that your word has been planted, and I'm going to pray for that word to come alive in their hearts. And I'm going to let you be glorified in this. Amen? Amen. That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's who we are. And it's time that we step over and become those people. Amen?